This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We bring in dear friend, Ambassador Robert O'Brien, former National Security Advisor during the Trump administration, now Chairman of American Global Strategies. And I want to add himself, Mr. O'Brien, a former hostage negotiator. Robert O'Brien, welcome back to the show. Thanks, everything, for doing this. I might add happy Thanksgiving, you and Lomery.
great to be with you, Larry, and happy Thanksgiving to you and Judy and the family.
All right. You know, one of the disturbing parts of the hostage swap here is that, to some extent, Hamas is in charge of the timing of this. They sort of set the terms of the pause. They could dribble out hostages for Lord knows how long. And from your experience as a hostage negotiator, what do you make of this?
Well, listen, the first thing, it's wonderful to see the Israelis come home. And if you want to have a bright morning, take a look on Twitter. There's a video of Ohad Monder, the 9-year-old boy who was released, racing down the hospital hallway to hug his dad. And it brings a smile to your face. And what it shows is the humanity of the Israelis, of the Americans, of the way we live and the value we put on human life. And that, but we have to understand there's a flip side to the good news today, and that's the bad news, that Hamas has scored a strategic victory. So has Iran. They've shown that hostage taking works. They got three times the number of convicted or arrested terrorists released in exchange for innocent Israeli kids and women who were ripped from their homes and taken to a foreign country, taken to Gaza. And so they got 3x the number of hostages, and they established a moral equivalency in the eyes of many between these terrorists that were released and the innocent hostages. They also received a pause in the warfare, the prosecution of the operation to root out Hamas from Gaza. And so what they achieved with hostages what they couldn't achieve with rockets and terrorists and fighters. And you're right, Larry, 100%. They're going to dribble out these hostages for a long time. They're going to get millions of dollars in humanitarian aid. And their ultimate goal is to stay in power in Gaza. And they're going to try and use these 240 hostages to create a lasting ceasefire that allows them to stay in place in Gaza and then resume attacks on Israel. So it's a wonderful morning for the hostages and for their families, and we welcome them home. It's a bad day for the West and for Israel when it comes to the Hamas believing they have a big victory here.
I mean, if you look at the numbers here, as you suggested, you'll have, in theory, as I don't know how this is going to play out, but in theory, a 4-day ceasefire in return for roughly 50 Israeli, and I want to get to the American side also, but that will still leave close, that still leaves whatever, 180 left out of the 240 or the 235 or whatever the right number is. So that gives Hamas, 180 chess pieces to play with and extend this thing and, of course, cater to world opinion, which is already moving against Israel, and one wonders about opinion inside the Biden administration. Those are not good odds, and suggests that Hamas really does have advantages here.
No, they're using it just as like China has done with hostages in North Korea and Russia, with Evan Gershkowitz and the Wall Street Journal reporter. The authoritarian and tyrants and dictators and terrorists use our love of humanity and our love of our people against us, and we have to play a different game. And to stop this, well, this started, Larry, in 1979 with the hostage taking in Iran. when they took our embassy and our diplomats hostage. And the Iranians have been playing this game ever since. And as you know, just recently, we paid $6 billion in ransom. Now, the Biden administration goes to great pains to say it was sanctions relief, but like the Iranians looked at it as ransom, the whole world looked at it as ransom, the American people looked at it as ransom. And they paid $6 billion for 5 American hostages. And I said at the time, I think I said it even on your show, there are two downsides to this. One, you increase the value of future hostages and you encourage hostage taking because if you can get $1 billion per U.S. passport, you know, why wouldn't countries do that? Take hostages and play them off and get some sort of payment from us. But number two, what do they do with the money? I mean, that money is not going to children's hospitals in Iran. It's not going to help the Iranian people. It's going to use the fund further hostage taking and terrorism. And what I didn't realize when I said that in mid-September at the UNGA, UN General Assembly, is that within a month, Hamas would launch a major terrorist attack supported by Iran and take 240 Israeli hostages, many of whom are Americans. So we see the fruits of this sort of ransom payments and lopsided prisoner exchanges, and it results in more hostage taking and more terrorism, and that's very unfortunate.
Is there any doubt in your mind? I mean, some success has a lot of people crowing about it, but really, Robert O'Brien, it's the intense pressure and success of the Israeli war campaign that was forced Hamas to come to the negotiating table, at least insofar as hostages are concerned. I mean, Qatar is involved, Egypt is involved, United States is involved. But, I mean, it's Israel and the pressure, relentless pressure and success of their campaign, is it not? And you hate
Larry,
to
Larry,
see that let up.
No question about it, Larry. You're 100% over target on that one. And look, we know this because one of my last cases I worked on as the special presidential envoy for hostage affairs before becoming national security advisor was trying to get the remains of Haider Golden and another IDF soldier out of Hamas. Now, this is an instance where Hamas had killed two IDF soldiers, dragged them back to Gaza through the tunnels, and were keeping the remains for many years and trying to trade the remains so that they could be buried and rest in peace in Israel and have their family have some closure. But Hamas was using their remains to try and get concessions from Israel. I was working on that case, and we were making no progress. If it hadn't been for the Israeli invasion of Gaza, in this operation to root out the Hamas terrorists and destroy their tunnels and destroy their infrastructure, there's no way this would be happening, notwithstanding the good offices of Qatar and Egypt and efforts by the Americans to negotiate. But the other thing is here, Larry, we've got a bunch of Americans that are held hostage in Gaza.
Yes.
Why weren't they released first? It just shows a lack of respect that the terrorists that Iran and Hamas have for the Biden administration, for the United States of America right now, that they can take hostages with impunity. And in fact, use that for us to put pressure on the Israelis just to hold up their campaign and to mitigate how they prosecute their war effort. And so they've played us like a fiddle with these American hostages, and yet they didn't even release any of them. And so this is not a victory. We shouldn't be taking a victory lap. Not today. We should be happy that the hostages are home, but we need to understand that this is not a great situation.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
I was reading from New York Times Dispatch this morning. Biden was asked directly, Robert, about about the American hostages. And it was all very vague and ambiguous. And I guess my thought here is from day one. I mean, Americans were killed in the barbaric October 7th. Americans were taken hostages. Biden hardly ever talks about Americans being taken hostages. Why wouldn't he want to have a much more aggressive, much more militant, you know, much more bigger warning to Hamas and Iran, for that matter, the ultimate puppeteer and paymaster, about the Americans who have been killed and who have been taken hostage? Why wouldn't he want to make a bigger deal about that?
Well, Larry, you worked for the great Ronald Reagan. I was an intern for him. And, you know, you remember the days of when terrorists killed Americans on the Achille Lauro or took American hostages. Ronald Reagan said you could run, but you can't hide. And we bombed Libya and we took deterrent action. President Trump did the same thing with the al-Baghdadi raid. I mean, part of that raid was to bring to justice a man who killed four Americans, Kasich and Sotloff and Mueller and Foley, and brutally beheaded the three males and killed the female. And so there was a consequence to these terrorists for taking American hostages and for engaging in terrorism and killing Americans. Where is that sort of behavior now? I mean, you'd think we'd be right there with the Israelis, you know, using our Marines, our special forces, to root out Hamas for killing Americans and taking Americans hostage. And at a minimum, the Hamas, when they realized they had Americans, should have released them and sent them to the border immediately and said, please don't take it. You know, we didn't mean to do this and we're sorry. Instead, they're keeping the Americans for the last because they know they can probably get further concessions from the Biden administration. They saw the Biden administration pay the Iranians billions of dollars. Maybe they're hoping to get billions of dollars in addition to making the Israelis stop their campaign. So it's just a very different attitude of the Obama administration and now the Biden administration, of this idea that if they stretch out their hand to terrorists and to dictators, that they'll somehow, the bad guys will somehow unclench their fists. But we've seen an unmitigated series of catastrophes, from Afghanistan to the invasion of Ukraine to the invasion of Israel by Hamas with Iranian backing. And heaven forbid that the Chinese learn the lesson from this and go after Taiwan. So, you know, appeasement doesn't work. Peace or strength does, and we need to get back to that posture. And that's what will keep Americans safe and keep Americans from being taken hostage. People will think twice when they see a blue passport and think, I better not take that person hostage because I could end up dead. Instead, there's every incentive right now to take Americans hostage, and we've got to change that immediately.
We're talking with Ambassador Robert O'Brien, former National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Himself a former hostage negotiator for the State Department. He's now chairman of American Global Strategies. Robert, I got to take a quick commercial break. I want to come back and talk more about the Iran angle on this whole story. Folks, I'm Kudlow. We will be right back. Please stick around.
Larry Kudlow. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking with Ambassador Robert O'Brien, former National Security Advisor in the Trump administration and a former hostage negotiator, now chairman of American Global Strategies. Robert, thank you. I want to talk some more. The Iran angle is sort of off the front pages right this second because of the hostage exchange and so forth. But the reality is the Bidens, picking up where the Obamas left off, have appeased Iran from day one. They've got an Iranian cutout who was the chief negotiator, this Robert Malley person. He's got somebody in the Defense Department. Malley lost his security clearance. They won't tell us why. He's got a protege in the Defense Department, chief of staff to an assistant secretary. Meanwhile, Iran's proxies continue to whack away at American military assets in the region. I don't know what the number is. It was up to 70. I don't know where it is now. And all we've done, all the United States has done, is little pinprick responses. So how do you read this, and when will the Bidens buck up?
Yeah, there's this unfortunate belief that somehow Iran is a force for good in the Middle East in the Biden administration. And you're right, it carries over from the Obama administration. They had Rob Malley, and was that Rob Malley losing his security clearance, and but he landed a cushy job at Princeton, so they're taking care of him. He still hasn't been fired. He's only suspended. But that's going to be a major scandal when we find out how close Malley and his cohorts were with the Iranians. I mean, we have a woman who's chief of staff of the Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflicts Department at DOD, and she would write the Iranians and request approval to appear in front of Congress, making sure the Iranian Foreign Ministry let her testify in the same panel as quote Jews. So I mean, we've got a real problem here. They believe that somehow Iran is this great civilized country that if we can only give them enough money, give them enough respect, appease them enough, that they'll become our friends. And what I've said all along is, like, the Iranians just aren't that into us. I mean, they chant death to America. That's never going to change. They have a universalist ideology, just like we have a universal ideology of freedom and liberty and the brotherhood of man. They have an ideology that believes in the return of the 12th Mahdi. They believe that everyone will have to become a Shia Islamic follower. And they believe that's a worldwide thing. So the ideologies of the two countries, which are both universal, they both believe that one is going to win out over the other. And I hope that freedom and liberty and humanity win. But the Iranians have a different view, and you're not going to convert them to becoming friends of America. And yet the Biden administration, preceded by the Obama administration, believed that they could somehow convince Iran to be on our side. And it's never going to happen. And it doesn't matter how much they pay them. And the sad part is the Iranians view that as a sign of weakness. They don't view it as a sign of strength. And they kill dissidents, and they kill women, and they take gay and lesbian Iranians and throw them off buildings. And they hang their opponents and slaughter protesters, and they take Americans hostage.
When will we bloody Iranians for these attacks on U.S. military assets? When will we enforce the sanctions? When will we stop a oil ship from going to China, or sink a ship, or impound a ship, or hit in Iran a training center for terrorists, or even a command and control? I mean, what are we waiting for?
Well, I don't know how many Americans are going to have to die before that happens, but you're exactly right on the sanctions, Larry. The left likes to say, well, sanctions against Iran don't work. Well, they sure as heck worked in the Trump administration, because we reduced Iran's foreign currency reserves to $4 billion when we left office. You know that well, because you were running that program. But now that Iran has $70 billion in foreign currency reserves, it became wealthy and a rich country because we've turned a blind eye to the sanctions. We're not enforcing them. So there are no sanctions against Iran, and that's why they're not effective, because they're not being enforced. As with our troops, these pinprick attacks make Clinton's cruise missile attack on the aspirin factory in Sudan look like a Normandy invasion. I mean, there's nothing, there's no deterrence. The Iranians are laughing at us. The Khatib Hezbollah, their proxy, is laughing at us. We hit an abandoned warehouse somewhere and claim that it's restoring deterrence. The Iranians attack, and their proxies, Khatib Hezbollah and others, attacked our troops in Iran and Syria 80 times or more. We don't know how many more. It's probably more than 80. We've done a couple of these slap on the wrist responses that do nothing to improve the life of our troops or protect them or keep them safe. And I think we're going to have a real tragedy at some point. We're going to lose a bunch of Americans, and people are going to wonder, how did this happen? Just like they wondered how did the withdrawal from Afghanistan happen in such a chaotic fashion. And it's because when you abandon the protection of your troops and forces, and you abandon deterrence, it's provocative to our adversaries. Now, America's not a weak country. We're a very strong country. We're not more fundamentally weak than we were, 3 years ago. But when we appear weak, that's provocative to our adversaries. So it's time to start showing the world, and this is a bipartisan thing. This is something I hope the Biden administration does. It's not a political issue. I hope they put us back on a peace of strength posture and protect American citizens and American soldiers and sailors, airmen, and Marines.
Last point, question for you. Can you talk about this sort of shadowy presence of Qatar, negotiating hostages, providing aid to terrorist groups? Now, part of Qatar is a capitalist story, Doha. part of Qatar is a very bad terrorist story. I take it they were front and center in these hostage negotiations. It's sort of a shadowy, mysterious place. Can you bring it to life just a wee bit for us?
Yeah, so look, I worked very closely with Qatar when I was a hostage envoy because they had access and they were able to help America with recovering hostages, and I think that's what they're doing here. You know, Qatar's a major non-NATO ally. They were declared that by the Biden administration, but in the Trump administration, we had very strong military ties with them. We've got a large air base in Qatar. Now, but people have to understand, Qatar's in a difficult place. They're in a very rough neighborhood. They're about 20 miles away from Iran. The Iranians put tremendous pressure on Qatar. And Qatar stands strong with America when we're strong, when they believe that we'll defend them. But there are only 300,000 Qatari citizens. They're a very small country compared to Iran, so that they've tried to carve out a role of somewhat of a Switzerland in the Middle East and be available for negotiations. And look, in my experience, they were always very helpful. I assume they're being helpful in these negotiations. But Qatar is only as strong as America is strong in deterring Iran, because, look, without America and without our air base there, the Iranians can swallow up Qatar in a day.
All right.
And so I think they're doing their best under a bad situation.
Ambassador Robert O'Brien, great friend, so knowledgeable. Chairman now of American Global Strategies, former National Security Advisor. Robert, thank you ever so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, buddy.
Folks, we'll take a break and talk economics with John Carney of Breitbart on the other side of the break. I'm Kudlow. Straight ahead. Stay with us, please.